happy Sabbath. Is this coming through now? Okay, good. It is without question quite an honor for Sharon and myself to be here with you this Sabbath to, on behalf of the Hawaii Conference, express heartfelt gratitude and appreciation to Elder Arakaki and for the last 4 months of ministry and service that he has given to our Manoa Church. I know that next Sabbath, actually, Elder Arakaki, is the last Sabbath that you officially preach here. Unfortunately, I believe it's next Sabbath, but unfortunately, I am committed to preach at the Waipahu Church, and so that is why Sharon and I are here today. I think it was the early part of April that I had the privilege of meeting Elder Arakaki for the very first time. My parents have known him for many, many years, and they had always spoken so highly of Elder Arakaki, and now, having had the privilege of spending some time with him these last 4 months, I can see why. Elder Arakaki is a godly man, a spiritual man. He is a man that has a very kind and sensitive spirit, gentle. And one thing that I have really appreciated is that every time that we have met each other or have sat down and spent some time in the office or whatever context or place it has been, Elder Arakaki, you always have a smile. And you always have something very kind to say, and I just really appreciate that. I know that you have lived in that tiny little apartment over at HMEI for the last 4 months. That's the same apartment I lived in for 4 months, and I know that at times it could be a little bit lonely and quiet over there, and just appreciate your willingness to come, to leave your home on the mainland, to come here to your home on Oahu and spend this time. And so from the conference, we have a little something we'd like to give to you. I wish it was a bit more significant, but it's a way of expressing our love and aloha and our deep heartfelt appreciation for all that you have done here these last 4 months. So once again, Elder Arakaki, from the bottom of our hearts, mahalo.
You know, when I came this morning, Mr. Yamada told me about the bulletin insert. He saw my name, is it? And about generosity, I kind of smiled. But I was not embarrassed. I was taken aback. With my Buddhist upbringing, I should have been embarrassed. Because whenever somebody praises you, you should be embarrassed by Buddhist upbringing. If I were seeking your praise, I should be embarrassed. If I wanted to praise myself by giving, I should be embarrassed. If I heard all nice comments made by Pastor Watts, I should be embarrassed. But with my Christian conversion, I said to myself, if you give something, if your right hand give it, don't let your left hand know. Whatever you do, do it in secret. What that means is, when you do something, forget it. Forget that you gave. And so from that standpoint, I was not embarrassed, but taken aback. Because whatever we do, I mean, it's all for the Lord anyway. This morning, I'm going to talk about three types of giving. I'm living in the 19th century, as you could see, with this type of thing. And I always write for the sake of my hard of hearing elderly friends. All my close friends are all over 80 now, you know. So I wrote this, and here I see this is Shimada right here, because you could see it. She's hard of hearing too. It says here, the easiest for most in giving is money. Difficult for many, time. Most difficult is self. And if you look Luke chapter 10, you'll find that the Good Samaritan gave of himself, risked his life to help a Jew. Where a Levite and a priest wouldn't, you know, help. And he gave of his time. Can you imagine? Nursing him, putting him on a donkey and walking. And then he gave us his money. Okay. You're going to get tired, though. I know you have a lot of muscles. Today, we're going to save the last. The easiest for the last. Time. You know, every moment belongs to Him. Because we were purchased with the blood of the Lamb. And in Matthew, Jesus says, you can't serve Him and Mammon. You have to choose one. Then we have the parable of 10 virgins and 5 talents. With time, you virgins or you believers like us, you must prepare for the coming kingdom. 5 were ready, 5 weren't. 5 used their time for themselves, and 5 used their time for others. Then we have the parable of the 5 talents. The 5 talents are to be used, what? To proclaim the gospel. To prepare others, unbelievers, to know Jesus and to prepare them for the coming kingdom. Then, we have the builders of this church. They gave their time. We all have equal time. There's one talent we all have. Same amount of time. I don't have more time than you do. Same amount of time. When I look up at the sanctuary every time, I marvel. How can the members build this church? They're just laymen. Impossible. I can't help but thank God. There was a huge banyan tree as you at the entrance. Over 12 tall coconut trees. If they hired people to do it, would have cost $7,000. But they did it all themselves. Esther Gamer's husband, Norman, their brother Tommy. Brother Tommy owned a trucking company. And so what did he do? Told the members, you can use my truck. Use my forklift. And all on the house, free. And so these members worked, cut the banyan tree down and the coconut trees, loaded up the trucks, and took it down all the way to Kailua dump yard. Then one thing about the root, huge root, that's the circumference of the banyan tree was between 12 and 15 feet. The members couldn't do it, and here they had a friend. Uncle Gimus came over, drove his truck, provided them with a caterpillar tractor, dug it all out. And all free. Free because of the respect and love for some of the members of the church. Each able-bodied man worked at least from doctors, dentists, all the way down. 6 to 8 hours, that's the least. And for some it was like a second job, 25 hours, 30 hours a week. Can you imagine that? 30 hours a week. After your regular job, they came here to work. Sometimes it was noisy, so it disturbed the neighbors. But they worked so hard. Gave their all. So when you look up, you know, this sanctuary was built by the hands of the members of this church. Led by Elder Kono, who exemplified commitment, dedication. We're going to do it. And the members tagged along and said, we're with you. They used their God-given talents, not only time, all their different abilities to build this church. Okay, thank you. Now I'm going to talk about the most difficult, giving of self. The Samaritan, when I think about his background, just believed in 5 books of the Old Testament. Just 5. The rest did not. He was a half-breed, but he had the love of God in him. I'm going to talk about two, George Mueller and William Booth, who gave up himself. But before that, before I talk about some idealistic type of people, I want to say this, because many of us have problems. When we think of John Wesley, we think of a great reformer, a great theologian, and yet his wife left him. Left him for good. What was the response when people ask him why? His only response was, now I can do more for the Lord. And when you think of Milton, Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained. Amazing. His wife left him too. Yet, because his wife left him, he was able to write such beautiful, beautiful books and poems. Now I go to George Mueller and William Booth. Take George Mueller. Some of you don't know, but you know, he was rejected as a missionary. He wanted to go to Orient to be a missionary. But no, the opportunity was denied. What did he do? The Lord's appearing. Start an orphanage. And many of you know him. Started with 26 little girls. Then became 100, 500, 1,000, 1,500 orphans. Without asking for a penny now, he just prayed. Lord, I have 2,000 orphans to feed every 3 meals a day, and to educate them, to house them, to clothe them. You know, he didn't tell anybody. He just prayed, and God answered his prayers. I think no one in the history of mankind had prayers answered like George Mueller. Then we think of William Booth. Sometimes we look at these names and say, wow, what great success they had. But we don't realize how hard time and disappointment they had. William Booth, you all know he worked so hard for the unfortunate of London, the prostitutes, the drunkards, the outcasts. He was working so much for them that some members complained, so the conference president came and said, we're going to move you outside, someplace else. But Mary Booth said, Mrs. Booth said, no. And he said, no, we're not going to move. We're going to stay here. Then that means goodbye. Where is this next paycheck going to come from? He was a man of prayer. These two men believed strongly in the Holy Spirit guiding them. And so he went to see his neighbors and said, can you help? Yes, we'll help. Because they knew that every penny that he got, he used for this. Yes, he used some to live. But today, think of it. For over 100 years, and some of you receive envelopes from the Salvation Army. I do too. And without hesitation, I always put a check in because I know where it's going. Think of it. This small organization receives more people than any big church. More than the Catholic Church. It's amazing. Why? Because this man, William Booth, did not live for himself. Then we have here Mother Teresa and Albert Schweitzer. I have this text, but you've got to always look at the watch. And if I stop, sometimes I think I'm crazy because, hey, what you say, people are going to forget. But if they open the Bible, they might remember more. But sometimes, you know, when you always... See, these two people, Mother Teresa and Albert Schweitzer, knew that love is the fulfilling of the law. You don't know how, I guess some of you know, how difficult it was for Mother Teresa at the beginning, opposed by the Hindu clergy. Almost impossible. Here she was, a successful principal at a girls' school in India. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to her, go and work in the slums of Calcutta for those who are dying. For those who are dying, nurse them. Help them to die with dignity. Can you imagine? I don't think I can hold a job like that for maybe a month, but more than that, it's beyond my capacity. But there she worked. The amazing part is that she treated each one like that person was Jesus. Can you imagine what our church would be like if we would treat every neighbor, every friend we meet like we're talking and teaching Jesus? Albert Schweitzer, he also applied to become a missionary because he saw advertised, need a medical doctor to go to this certain section in Africa. They turned him down. Can you imagine that? Because his theology was all wrong. He was an evolutionist. He did not believe the divinity of Christ like we do. So they turned him down. So what did he do? Give up? No, he worked. And with his own money, he went to Africa and worked there. And it wasn't easy, I'm telling you, it wasn't easy. I've read a few books about him. It wasn't easy, but he didn't give up. When he needed money, he went back to Europe to buy materials. And he would perform concerts to get money and go back to Africa. Later on, he became successful. You know, people begin to help. Pour the money in and help out. Even from Japan, doctors went to Africa because they wanted the privilege to work next to Dr. Albert Schweitzer. Theology all wrong, let's say, for some. But they had the right spirit. Maybe not the right letter of the law, but the right spirit. We may have the right letter of the law, or letter of the Bible, and not the right spirit. But isn't to have the spirit more important than the letter of the Bible? Of course, the Lord wants us to have the balance, the right spirit, and the right letter of the law. Now, I bring down this name because here we have Werner and Joseph Nozaki. Some of you know Dr. Leonard Kuninobu, right? Leonard was the choir leader, am I right? And maybe one of the officers. Verna is his sister. I bring her in because she was a member of this church. She married Joseph Nozaki, who, even while he was going to medical school, I was his roommate in college, wanted to become a medical missionary, and he became one. He worked in the Orient, worked in Guam, and he worked in Paraguay. The amazing part is that in Paraguay, when the hospital was full, he would bring them to his home and nursed them, took care of them. And when we were poor people, all immigrants, all the far away, they come, travel 2-3 hours to come to his place, to the hospital. He would take them in. And because of the kind of dedication for the poor immigrants, the Emperor of Japan, every year in Japan, the Emperor recognizes 10 people who made significant contributions to the country. And in 1 year, they recognized Joseph Nozaki. But as you know, I think half of the credit has to go to Verna, because she was the one at home working so hard to take care of the patients. And last I wrote Pastor Nozaki because he's the most remarkable man in my book. I bow to him. He was the best example, as I know, of among ministers of humility. Matthew 5:3. And he was a happy, humble man. And he was a man of faith. And God answers his prayers in many healing cases. And also he served with love. It was my privilege to follow in his footsteps. Not footsteps, but to go where he established churches to preach. He established a church in San Francisco. Established a church in Mountain View. And I spoke at those churches too. Not too many people can say I built 2 churches. But he did 2. Not only that, then he went to Okayama, Japan. And to win a single soul in Japan is not easy. But in 3 years and 2 months, he led 55 people to Jesus Christ. Amazing. And what did he do? Organize a church there. Establish a church there. People say, it's impossible. And yet, because of his dedication, when people knew him, they wanted to send money. You know what I mean? Like, we want to help the Salvation Army. Though we're not members of that Salvation Army church, almost all of us, hey, we want to help them. And he was such a man that people, that every dollar you give to him, he's going to use it for God. Established church there. Then he went to Canada, just not too many months. Led 7 people to Christ. Then he was called to Asuncion, Paraguay, where the sun worked. Ah, what marvels, wonders God performed there. When the resident pastor could not lead the people who were studying to accept Jesus Christ fully, he went there. And when he talked to them, okay, I accept Jesus Christ. Wow. And before long, he helped to organize a church. I don't know of anyone who organized churches in 3 different continents. And that is what he did. And before he left Paraguay, he went to Sao Paulo, Brazil. And I went to Paraguay too, and I preached at his church. I'm following him. I preached at his church. Then he went to Sao Paulo, Brazil. And I knew the resident pastor there. He was a scholar, a part-time lecturer at the university. But he helped with the Japanese group because he knew the Bible well, and he was a capable teacher. But he couldn't put across a Methodist leader of a church who built a... He was a millionaire, so he built a nice church and he was going to donate it to the church. And then someone said, why don't you go and see him? So Nozaki, before leaving for California, went to see him and started with him just one day with the Bible. That guy said, okay, I accept what your church is teaching. I accept it. And I'm going to give this church to you. And it was my privilege to preach in that church. Now, we're going back to number one. I really respected Alacono. I played golf with him quite often. Enjoyed it very much. In fact, even Rod, when I was at a conference office, we'll go together out playing. Richard Among is a friend, close friend of Pastor Kono. I think he treated Richard like a kid brother, I think. A kid brother. So I thought, hey, Richard, he talked to me about Pastor Kono. I said, hey, why don't you come today? Because of your experience with him, I want you to say something about giving.
I count it a privilege to be able to express the feeling and the understanding that I have about Harold Kono, my friend, pastor of this church, and so forth. Now, we've heard from Shiggy. I thank you, Shiggy, for asking me to come and say a few words. So, mahalo. How many of you... And please be bold now. I want to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you were here when Pastor Kono, over 20 years ago, was pastor of this church? Please raise your hands. Okay. But you see, it's not a full house. It's not a full house. There are many of us here. I know I've been married to my wife now 15 years, and it was before that. And then you go back 20 years, and Lyle was here for 26 years, but I think it was kind of a transition there, about 2-3 years. So it's that long since Pastor Kono was here. Now, I like to give one experience, because if you summarize all that Shiggy told us about money, time, and self, and the stewardship of such, and how it can flow from you and make a terrific difference, I'm trying to say that Harold Kono was that kind of a guy. Okay? And I'd like to give you an experience. Now, I was a young pastor when he was already a, you know, veteran. He came from California, veteran, to be in Hawaii. But when they were building this church, I was stuck out in the, you know, the paradise called Waianae. And, bro, that's a place when you drive down the street, when you look at the other guy in the car, make sure you smile. So anyway, it was a wonderful experience. But after a long time of working and all of that, I needed a vacation, and I got one. So when I had a vacation, I came up here, take the vacation Sabbath at this church, because the guy that was leading out as the contractor, quasi, might help us do one in Waianae. So I wanted to come here to the church, see what's going on, this and that. Anyway, I came, and Harold saw me, and he said, "Hey, you here? Yeah, you going on platform with us?" I said, "No way, bro, I'm on vacation." No, you have to come on the platform. So we go back in the back room, you know what I mean? And we're getting ready to have the prayer and come out. So he looks at the bulletin, and he says, "Among, you call for the offering." I said, "Ah, man, you know, well, I call him for the offering, okay, but I don't do that. I was the pastor. Somebody else called for the offering. But I was teaching them how to call for the offering because we needed every nickel, man." So I said, "Okay, what's the offering for?" "Oh, church expense." I got it. So I come out, and I'm following the bulletin, you know. And it gets to be my turn, so I step up on these same chairs, probably, and come out, and whew, I give them my best, most persuasive talk of money. Give the money. And I paint the whole picture. And I could almost, you know, do that when I went to sit down. Harold was kind of fidgety after that. Service came to an end. We walked down there, we're going to shake hands, and he couldn't wait to bawl me out. "What do you say that for?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Crying out loud, you act like we broke." I said, "Hey, but where I come from, we broke." We had 6 wage earners in the Waianae church. Are we trying to build a church? The stewardship director from the conference, the union conference, came. He's a specialist on help you raise money for things like this. He looked at our tithe figures and our offering figures, and he said, "Pal, wait about another 9 years and call me," and left. So, you know, hey, I gave him the best I could think about, how to raise money. And he says to me, "Who do you work for?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Who do you work for?" I said, "The conference." "No." I said, "Well, who do you work for?" He said, "I work for the conference." I said, "What do you get in that?" He says, "I work for God. I work for God." "Who you work for?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I work for God too." He said, "Let me tell you something. I don't know about your boss, but my boss, all the gold and all the silver, cattle on 1,000 hills, belong to my God. God is the creator. He owns everything. Money is no problem for God. You got it?" He said, "Now you go up there and make that kind of an offering appeal." He says, "She, my treasurer is going to tell me, 'Pastor, what are we going to do with the money now? We get every money in every savings and loan on Oahu. Every time, they, you know, they give out a toaster, a microwave oven, a frying pan, whatever. If you put 10 grand or 5 grand in there," he said, "we get so many at the church, we're giving them away and nobody like them." I couldn't understand what he was talking about. He said, "Let me tell you something. If your church does not have enough money, it's not the source of the money that's the problem. God owns everything. Your church get pilikia. The persons get hooky hooky. They're arguing, they're fighting, there's something wrong." "That's it. The hand of God will be held back. You, the pastor, you got to go examine what's going on there." I thought, what's he talking about? And we went on. And he started giving me illustrations, some of which Shiggy has brought up for us to see. It's the truth. If you knew the exact money they caught to build this church, you wouldn't believe it. You cannot even build one garage today for that price. And I adopted that philosophy. Studied it through with him, saw the thing, and I'm going to tell you it was the greatest thing that happened to my life. for my church's life. One last thing. I went to a church after that, after learning this philosophy. We built a church down there. Go see the Waianae Church. $85,000 we built them. And paid it off. Don't know the conference, nothing. Had $3,000 left over. Following this, the philosophy I learned from Harold on stewardship for money, time, and self. Went to the church next. When I got there, the elder told me, "Pastor, one thing I want to tell you, when you're in this church, you cannot spend 5 cents without getting the board approval." Golly, how do I do anything? I had learned from Elder Connell. It didn't take me long. Finally convinced my board, finally convinced my church. And when I left that church, they had so many thousands of dollars left over. Had a new wife then. My other wife passed away. When we left that church, they gave me a check. Unbelievable. I said, "You guys are crazy." "No, that's it, Pastor. That's it." And I learned, right? Good. My wife and I took that check and wrote out our own check in relationship to that one and gave it back to them. I'm telling you, if your money, time, and self needs to be managed, do like Pastor Kono taught us in this church. Have a personal relationship with God. Let the Holy Spirit who lives within you give you the ideas, the words, the thoughts that you and God can walk together. The world is your playground. The bank never runs out of money, time, and makes yourself be suppressed, and the Spirit lives as King. Thank you. Thank you, Elder Kono, and bless us all.
These illustrations. Because some just prayed and the money came. Mother Teresa just prayed. In fact, before she died, her nuns, 5,000 nuns, can you imagine 5,450 priests came? I mean, there were that many in her group. But a few came to see her and said, "Mother Teresa, let's start a foundation. Because when you go, money won't come in like it used to." She said, "No. My God is the same as your God. He supplies our needs while I was here. He's going to supply your needs when you need it." They did by prayer. Schweitzer worked for some to get his money. George Miller just prayed. William Booth contacted different people. Now, I want this to happen in this church. 100% participation. I've been to a church where 100% participation. Those of you, I mean, it's going to be tough because the older ones, their income is set already. They wish they had more money, but they can't give more than they're giving. The younger ones, many have mortgage to pay. Education for their kids all costs money. How am I going to do it? That's why we need everybody. And if you can't give a dollar, see Dr. Mealy, he'll give you the dollar. But he goes to Allah Park to help them out, so he'll be willing to give you a dollar. If not him, see Curtis Len. What we're going to do is divide into about 14, 15 groups. And we're going to have each group have a leader. And I haven't written all the names down, but some of you can come. Ishiga, I'm willing to be a leader. You know, as Richard said, our time all belongs to God, our money. I hope that every one of you participate at least. I'm sure you're going to. You may not agree with our method, but you can say, "Hey, I want the deficit to go down. I want the debt to go down." Gee, why are you doing this for? You should have spent your last few weeks or last month. Take it easy. Enjoy Hawaii and then go back home. You know why we're pushing it? Some of us pushing it. We're doing so when Pastor Abbott comes, he doesn't have to worry too much about fundraising. He's enthusiastic for the Lord. He's a man of outreach. He's a God-sent man. And we don't want to saddle him with trying to raise money. That's why we have a group one to help out. I know he's going to do a good job because, as I say, he's God-sent. And so, I just want to say, let's participate. Everyone, if you don't have a dollar, I'm going to have about 14 or 15 group leaders. We're going to divide the names. You can tell him. And he's willing to send you a dollar or help you a dollar. Or Dr. Milley, if these people are all so broke, you can even write to California. I hope that some of you might be able to come and see us, Wayne Wahe or myself, and say, hey, how can I help? And we want your names, how can I help? And if you don't come, you know, some people are hesitant. So we'll see you from our side. Hey, can you help this up? Can you help us? And I hope your response is okay. Because you're not doing it for us. For whom? Not even for Abbott. Partly for Abbott, yes. Humanly speaking, for Abbott. But primarily for God. For Jesus. So that this place can be debt-free and you can concentrate on outreach. If you are not going to work for others, why have this church? You don't need a church. But since we have a church and we need a church, we have to do something. And that is why I really believe that Pastor Abbott has been sent to this church so that you can have a good program, a good outreach program. And God bless you. Don't forget, we don't want a single person left out in giving to liquidate the last dollar we have. Because we want God to have all the glory, and we want this church to really begin its outreach. God bless you. Thank you.